Well, we had the rare occasion to watch a streaming movie on the big screen. Zach and myself were recently invited to check out an advanced screening of G20, the new action thriller from Amazon. And it's, let me set the scene for you. It'd be like, what if you had Air Force One meets Die Hard at the G20 summit? That's basically kind of what the basic premise of this is, where the terrorists come in, take over the G20, take everybody hostage, and the only person who can save the day is John McClane. I mean Harrison Ford. I mean the President of the United States. Now, this takes kind of a trope that we've seen before and kind of puts a little bit of a different twist on it. Terrorists take over the G20 summit and President Sutton using military experience to defend the family and company and the world. The president is Viola Davis. So I think that's kind of like the main bit of gimmick here. It's kind of like a, I'm reluctant to call it like a gender swap type of thing. I don't think it's particularly gimmicky. I think it's a cool concept as a jumping off point. Like, you know, terrorists take over a G20 summit and the American president has to save the day. That's cool. I like Viola Davis as an actor, as a performer. I think she has a steely presence to where that I can believe her as a action hero slash American president, like, you know, feeling kind of like that Harrison Ford type of role.
It did not feel woke.
Correct. Yeah, and that's the other thing. And I was waiting for the right-wing outrage to be like, oh, man, you got a black female president doing diehards and Harrison Ford stuff. And it's not that. In fact, I think on paper, in the script, there really isn't a whole lot to indicate that not only is the president female, but also a female of color. I think that that's just something that they threw into the movie.
If I had to infer the character's politics, I would think she is a KVI listener.
Quite so. Former military, that becomes a huge part of it. And really, that's when we were invited to check out the screening, I was like, cool, R-rated action thriller where the American president is an American badass and uses military tactics and training to diehard themselves to save the day. Sign me up. That sounds awesome. Unfortunately, the movie is not awesome. It's what I told the nice lady with the clipboard is that it is a perfectly fine mid-tier action thriller. The kind of movie that I don't know if they make anymore or if it's the only movie they make anymore. This is a movie that I would rent from the video store when I'm looking for something to watch on a Sunday morning into afternoon where I may or may not be hungover. Like, this is kind of a hangover movie. It's kind of sleepy. It's harmless, I think, is the way that I would describe it. I think it has a really cool concept that it doesn't quite meet. Because, again, Die Hard, you know, kind of like an Air Force One type of thing, a badass American president, shrug, it's fine. Zach, you went to this screening also. What were some of the impressions that you had of it? Because I think of the two of us, you disliked it even more than I did. I think it's shrug, fine. You had some problems.
Yeah, it upsets me in a lot of ways. Number one, just to address the whole, well, it's a fine enough Sunday morning TV movie. I don't think those exist anymore. Reason being, we come right off, I think it's called Electric State, Electric City. I don't even know what the movie is. It's a throwaway movie that Netflix produced. It was like $330 million.
Yeah, one of the most expensive motion pictures ever made, and it's a TV movie streaming on Netflix.
And it seems Netflix is fine with that. So when you're putting that kind of money behind, streaming movies are not TV movies, in my opinion, anymore. Because a TV movie, you're kind of bound to the channels you have. A streaming movie, I will start this G20 at home, and the minute we'll get to the things that upset me, the minute these things that throw you off, I'm gone. I'm going to the next suggestion on Amazon or Netflix or whatever. I don't need to sit and watch it. It's not a set it and forget it channel. It's a movie that they want me. They're vying for my attention and my time, and it's not worth that to me. So the things I hate about it, and frankly made me upset, A, it's a cool concept, and I think they ruined it, and now we can't do that anymore. I think the idea of having anything related to G20 with all the world's leaders in one place and some sort of shenanigans ensuing is a fun concept. They butchered it, and now that's over. So that's been taken from us.
Yeah, and now they can't do it for real.
Exactly.
Like, as like a bigger budget. Because, I mean, this thing is cheap.
Yes.
And I had to remind myself several times because, again, our friends over at Ally Global Marketing invited us to a theatrical exhibition of this movie. And as I'm watching it, watching the hinky CGI effects and poor special effects and bad CGI blood squibs and CGI gunfire and all this other stuff, I had to remind myself a number of times that this is a movie that was not meant to be watched on a movie theater screen. It was meant to be watched on a television or a laptop or a cellular telephone, you know, however people watch movies now. Like I was talking to Ari, and he was telling me one of his kids watched Lawrence of Arabia on a cell phone on a flight. And I know I'm a bit of a movie snob, but like, come on, man. Like I'm still trying to figure out how to get my Matt Walsh style, what is even a movie documentary off the ground, because like there's movies like this that confound me even further, or like Electric State for Netflix. It's like, what are we doing? What is the differentiation between TV movies, streaming movies, theatrical movies, big budget event movies? It just feels like everything is blurry. And kind of one of my takeaways from this G20 experience is that I think this is kind of the trajectory of movies where things are just kind of like bland and flavorless and just kind of shrug okay.
Yeah, and I think other streaming platforms like Apple TV does a good job. Netflix does a good job. They're playing in the major leagues, and Amazon said, well, we can do one of these streaming movies, but they're just hitting minor league ball. But the things that upset me were everything. It's Die Hard, but what we kind of failed to mention was it's Die Hard based on current technology, kind of. So yeah. Instead of, you know, getting a vault full of cash or bonds or whatever it was in Die Hard, they're all vying for a cryptocurrency wallet, which just looks like a hard drive. If you are at a technological level where you own a flip phone, and anything above a flip phone and beyond, if that's your technological savviness, this movie will upset you. It treats the audience as if we're stupid, and it's hard for me to get past that to respect the other actually somewhat redeeming parts of the movie, like Viola Davis's performance. Would be remiss if I did not bring up the moment in the movie where they're trying to send an email. They need some Wi-Fi. They need some internet. And the daughter of the president says, well, we can take this TV dish satellite and just reverse it, and then we'll send emails, to which my good pal Big Mike exclaimed into a theater full of other people.
It's gone from suck to blow.
You get more laughs than the whole movie did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
And you got some people to move, but that's fine.
Exactly. That is true. Don't go to the movies with Big Mike. But no... And the supporting cast is really nothing to write home about as well. I was disappointed because, like, I was a fan of the first season of The Boys, also on Amazon, and the main heavy, Anthony Starr, is the villain in this movie, and he's either got nothing to do on the page. It's either, like, underwritten, undercooked, or Homeboy just can't act. And maybe he's just good at playing the Homelander character. Like, do more of that with this. I was really kind of disappointed how flat that villain performance
was.
Well,
on the topic of special effects, Amazon put out that Fallout series, which we won't get into you know, get into the weeds of that. But the special effects in that kind of long-form TV series was really, really good. So Amazon is capable. They obviously have contractors that can do it. And they just didn't choose to live up to what they are capable of.
I think you cracked the code here, Zach. I think that in these types of things, Amazon excels at TV miniseries, for lack of, I'm reluctant to even call it TV, but stuff like Reacher that both Ari and I are very impressed with, or things like Fallout that we all really liked, and other things like, you know, Jack Ryan or The Terminal List. Or Bosch or whatever your favorite Amazon thing, I bet you it's a 6 to 7 episode TV series and not a 2-hour movie. I think that if we get more stuff like this, I think that's going to diminish Amazon's brand as a IP curator. And I kind of wonder what this means for the future of the James Bond movies now that Amazon has control over that franchise as well. It's like, are we going to get more of this? Is it just going to be bland, flavorless goop? Time will certainly tell.